This is an interview with Thelma Eisen. The interview was conducted by Gina Redant on March 15, 1995, via the telephone from Kenosha, Wisconsin, and Pacific Palisades, California, as part of an oral history project on the 1944 Milwaukee Chicks for Dr. Michael Gordon of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Tape 1, Side 1.
Okay then, I have the tape running, and this is Gina Redant talking via the telephone with Thelma Tybee Eisen. Now Tybee, the first thing I'd like to start with is some biographical information, and I'd like to ask you where you were born and when you were born.
I was born in Los Angeles, California, and in 1922.
Okay. And then may I have your father's name and occupation and your mom's maiden name and if she had an occupation?
My father's name was David Eisen, and he had a trucking business in the old days in Los Angeles here. And my mother's name was Dorothy.
Okay.
And she was a homemaker.
Okay. Did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I had two brothers and one sister.
Okay, and what were their names?
My brother who was older, his name was Milton Eisen. And my younger brother, I was 5 years older than he was.
So okay.
His name was Harry Eisen.
Okay. All right, then.
And I had a sister, and her name was Adele.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Now, you went to school. Did you stay in Los Angeles then?
Yes, I stayed in Los Angeles.
Okay. And that's where you completed. Did you go through high school?
I went through high school and took courses in college later.
Oh, okay. Can you tell me about any hobbies that you had as a child? Were you interested in baseball and softball even at that time?
Well, as a child, I loved to run and play softball. When I was about 12 or 13, I used to go to the playground all the time and play in the neighborhood. And some people came up one time and said, "Gee, you run fast." And we used to play tennis there, and he said, "You have a pretty good swing." That's how I got started in softball.
Okay. All right. That's great. Let's see. Now, I'm wondering if you can recall any, now you were born in the 20s, so the Depression, you would have experienced some of that. Do you have any particular memories of the Depression years?
Well, my father, as I said, he was in the trucking business. He had his own truck, and he moved people and did whatever he could, you know, to earn a living. Things were pretty bad at that time, but he did manage to always have food in the house and have jobs, and so we ate very well and dressed very well because he knew where to go to do all these things.
All right, then. Now I want to get back to yourself. When did you graduate from high school then?
In 1941.
Okay. And then did you go right on to college courses or was that even?
No. From there I went out to work.
Okay.
And you know, it was the war years.
Right.
Almost.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the first Harvey girls, actually.
Oh, really?
In Los Angeles, they had built the new railroad station down there.
Sure.
And my girlfriend got a job down there in the soda fountain.
Uh-huh.
And she said, "There's a job if you want to come down." And I ran down there and worked there for quite some time. I didn't know anything about it and told them I knew how to fix sodas.
Right.
We had a wonderful time for, oh, probably a year or so.
Okay, so you stayed there until about 1942?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
Somewhere in there.
And at this time, were you doing any type of softball or baseball activities?
Oh, yes. I was playing in the local teams.
Okay.
This I had been playing since I was about 14 or 15 years old.
Oh, so it continued all the way through.
We had a regular softball league here in the city. It was very active.
Okay. Now, I know when you were with the Chicks, you were an outfielder, correct?
Yes.
Is that the position you played primarily when you were, you know, softball in Los Angeles?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Great. Well, this is leading us up to the Chicks and all that information. But I did want to cover then, did you ever marry?
No, I didn't.
No, okay. And then, let's see, the next topic is occupational history, and we've started to get into that. So after high school, you went to work with the railroads as a Harvey girl.
Uh-huh.
And then, let's see. And you were still playing with the Los Angeles Softball League and things like that. Now, did you follow men's professional baseball at all? Were you interested in that, or just what you were doing as a softball player?
I didn't follow it so much until I got into, the baseball league.
Right.
Here in Los Angeles, we used to have a lot of the major leaguers
at
that time that used to practice in the area.
Right.
And they would sometimes practice the same time that our teams would come out. We had these softball fields and also baseball fields at one of the big parks called Brookside Park in California.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the big league players would come out there and practice, and we'd pick up little pointers.
Oh!
So we did follow some of them.
That's great. Okay. Now, did you try out for the 1943 season for the first season of the All-American Girls League, or did you just come on board in 1944?
No, we came on board, most of us from California, in 1944.
Okay, all right. And did they hold a tryout out in California, and is that how you heard about it, or had you already heard about it from any press for the 1943 teams that were playing?
Well, one of the softball managers out here by the name of Bill Allington,
mm-hmm.
Apparently they contacted him, and of course he had access to, I would say, about 10 different softball teams in the area.
Right.
And so he had tryouts, and six of us made it from California.
Okay. Do you remember any of the other ladies that came out from California with you?
Yes, Annabelle Lee,
mm-hmm.
and Dottie Wiltz was her name at the time. Miss
mm-hmm.
Collins now.
Okay.
And let's see, Faye Dancer
mm-hmm.
and Alma Ziegler.
Oh, okay.
And I guess myself. Is that five or six?
I think that's five.
I missed somebody.
Wow, that's all right.
They'll come to me.
Okay, because some of those names are certainly familiar.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, great. So they held the tryout. Was that in 1944 or 1943?
In 1944.
In 44.
Well, let's see. I guess they had the tryouts in 44 because it was just before spring training that we went back that they had the tryouts.
Okay. And then from learning that you made the cut, where did you travel to then? What was kind of the sequence of events?
The six of us took a train and went to, I think it was, spring training was held at Peru, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall if we went to Chicago first, but we finally got to Peru, Illinois.
Right.
And they had a wonderful, wonderful facilities down there for everybody.
Okay.
The whole league was there.
Oh, right. So that was kind of the base camp,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. Okay. And then that was where you found out you were, did you know right away you were going to be assigned to the Chicks, or did you?
No, actually, it was quite a story. The girls that I went with were all, I would say, double-A players
mm-hmm.
in the softball league.
Okay.
And I was just an A or kind of a B player at the
time. Oh, uh-huh.
And they, weren't sure if I was going to make it or not.
Right.
But I was sure.
Good for you.
Got back there, why I did make the cut. Thank goodness Max Carey, who was there at the training camp too,
oh, okay.
Was a wonderful father image,
mm-hmm.
and he certainly helped me.
Wonderful. Okay, that sounds good. Now, how did your family feel about all of this? You're going out off to the big city of Chicago, so to speak, and...
Well, of course, I was a little older by then, and they really were never that interested, actually. I played softball and did the things I wanted to do, but none of them were really fans, you know, of baseball or softball.
Right.
My father, when he was young, was a wrestler. He enjoyed
that.
Oh,
okay.
And I understand my mother played tennis at one time, but other than that, why, I was just, I guess, doing what I wanted to do.
Okay, so they supported you in that much, just letting you go on and do your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm assuming you were very excited about it all. Did you think it was, when you had first heard about the league and everything, did you assume that it was going to be just a totally new world for you? Or what did you kind of think about it when you first heard of the league?
Well, I thought it was wonderful because, of course, I wanted to travel. I hadn't really traveled very much, just locally. Trying to remember if I'd ever even been to San Francisco in those days, real young days.
Right.
And so it was exciting. It was a new experience, and going on the train, you know, to go back east was another big exciting thing.
Oh, sure, sure. Okay. Now, you went out to Chicago, or to Peru, Illinois, with the five other young ladies.
Right.
And what, apart from the actual tryouts and the playing of ball, what else do you remember about the trip? Were you just excited about going in the first place? Was that pretty much the most memorable thing?
Well, I remember a lot of things being on the train. I think it was at that time, I'm not sure, where there were some soldiers on the train. When we went through the, you know, certain areas, why some of the black soldiers, you know, who always have to wait in line, were always last. And, of course, being from California, I couldn't understand that. You know, but that was a long time ago.
Okay.
But the scenery and the wonderful view and being in different areas, it was just fantastic.
Okay. And when you did reach Peru, could you estimate how many young ladies were there for that 1944 start?
Well, I would assume there were at least a couple of hundred.
Wow.
It's been a long time, but there were lots of women there.
Okay. So you get there, and you're playing, and you're doing practice games, I would assume, and things like that?
Yes, they had practice sessions where you would run, you know, to get your body in shape.
Okay.
You would throw. And we did that for quite some, I would say 3 or 4 days, trying to get into shape. And then they would have practice games, and then they would, what they tried to do was allocate players to certain teams so that the league would be fair.
Okay.
Because it really wasn't owned by anybody.
Right.
And they did it that way, so that if you had, you know, 10 outfielders, some were good and some weren't. They try to put some of the players onto a team that had maybe better infielders.
Okay.
Or not, you know, so
right.
It would be even.
Okay. And then how long did that actually last?
Well, spring training, I believe, is about 2 weeks.
Okay. And then from there you went right to Milwaukee?
No. Well, let me think. Oh, geez. We did so many different things at different times. No, I think we were in Peru, Illinois. I think we had some practice games on the way to Milwaukee.
Oh, okay. All righty.
If I remember correctly. I think there were two teams that traveled together.
Okay. So just to get the chronology right, you make the tryout, or you go to tryouts in Los Angeles, and you're one of six to be picked to go out to Peru, Illinois. And then you go through the spring training there, and... When did you actually find out, was it in Los Angeles or in Peru, that you were actually going to be a part of the league?
Oh, it was in Peru, right after spring training, why they allocated the players to the different teams.
Okay, I see. So after those 2 weeks, you knew
right.
You were going somewhere.
Signed the contract.
Okay. All right, then. We're going to talk about the contract a little bit later. And could you tell me about your reaction then and your feelings on hearing that you were actually part of the league?
Oh, I was thrilled.
Right?
That I made it, you know.
Okay.
And it was a whole new experience, of course, you know, going there. And there was so much to learn, but I picked up what I could quite fast.
Okay, good. Was Philip Wrigley there at this time? Did you ever meet him along the way?
No, I never met him.
No.
His right-hand man, Mr. Ken Sells, was down there in charge.
Okay, right. I'm familiar with that name, but Max Carey was there, it sounds like, from the start.
Yes, he was the manager.
Right.
One of the managers at that time.
So they were all down there kind of checking all the...
Oh, yeah, they had all the managers there, and they all got together, and they picked the team.
Okay. Okay, good. Now, let's see. The next topic that I'd like to cover is the charm school and the issues of the chaperones and things like that. In 1944, that was still very much a part of the league, was the image and how the ladies had to present themselves. When did they start those classes for you? Was that right when you began your spring training, or did that come after you arrived in Milwaukee, or how did they work that?
I'm trying to remember. I don't think the charm school really started until about 45.
Oh, okay. So this is a little bit too early then.
Yeah, I think it was a little too early.
Okay, but did they... Did they impress upon you that you had to act a certain way?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay.
And if you didn't obey the rules, you were out.
Okay, so...
Because we had a lot of young ladies that were underage also.
Mm-hmm.
And the chaperones had to make sure, you know, that everybody was taken care of, because they told us that you're on the road and there will be lots of people that will want to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
And that you have to be careful.
Right. And so I think, I would assume that everybody knew that they had to really toe the line.
Oh, yes.
And so, okay. Now the uniforms, is that what you wore when you were playing out in Los Angeles for that softball league? Was it similar, or was this the uniform anew with the short or the skirt?
No. The uniform was a completely different uniform than in Los Angeles. Everybody played in satin shorts, you know, like the jockeys.
Mm-hmm.
And they had those beautiful colors. Mm-hmm. Why, when we went back there, it was like a one-piece tennis dress.
Okay.
And apparently, you know, we were shocked.
Yeah.
But that's what they wanted to play in. And then if you tried to slide, you know, that was another problem.
Mm-hmm.
Sliding on your bare leg. Excuse me. But we managed. We learned how to slide mainly on our socks. You know, we had the knee-high socks,
Right.
which would protect you a lot. And then you learned how to hit the ground and just not hurt yourself all the time.
Right. Okay.
But, at first, it was awful.
But you just got used to it and then learned how to adapt your play just a bit. Do you think that the uniforms influenced the fans' perception of the league? Do you think that was an important part of maintaining that image of femininity, and that the fans reacted good or bad to that?
Well, I think they reacted good to it once they got used to us. You know, I think they came out just to see what was going on at first, but the quality of play improved so much, you know, that first year.
Right.
That the fans were coming out to see good baseball.
Okay, so...
Softball, whatever you want, they called it in those days.
Right. How did you classify yourselves? As just ball players or softball players or baseball players?
The league was called... All-American Girls Professional Ball League.
Right.
In 44. And they had changed the name two or three times through the year because they changed the game.
Mm-hmm.
And we could have considered ourselves that first year as we were playing a little in between, you know.
Okay.
Because the field was longer.
Mm-hmm.
And we could lead off where you can't do that in softball.
Right, okay. Right. Well, that's good. And then for the appearance, you guys, I was reading that you had to, when you were in public, you had to wear skirts and lipstick, and your hair had to be made up. Is that something that you guys had to follow in 44, or is that a little bit later yet?
No, in 44, they didn't want anybody to, you know, as the word is today, raunchy. And, no, the girls, they wore skirts.
Okay.
In those days, you know, you had the Bobby socks.
Right.
And what's his name, Boone, you know, the singer.
Oh, Pat Boone, yeah.
Yeah, the white shoes, you know, two-tone shoes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That's what we wore, a lot of us.
Okay. All right. So, from spring training then, you recall then going out onto the road for some games. And do you remember when you exactly arrived in Milwaukee then? Or around about?
Well, I think about the season was, let's see, we went back probably in April. I think the season was in May sometime.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly.
Okay. So then possibly May 1944
right.
is when you first would arrive. And did all the girls, well, if you were playing games on the road on the way up, everybody was together, including Max Carey?
Right, we were always together when we were playing.
Okay. And your chaperone, Dorothy Hunter, she was there right from the start as well?
Yes, she was too.
Okay. Now, let's see, if you arrived in Milwaukee in May, and did you start playing right away then in May?
Yes, I don't think we were there much longer than a few days and the season started.
Okay, okay. And then when was the championship held? Was that October, like the World Series, or was that a little bit earlier?
I don't think we played any longer than September, the early part of October.
Okay.
I think we played 125 games.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have to, you know.
All right.
I don't really recall.
Okay, that's no problem. So, about 125 games, and would you say half the games were on the road and half were at home?
Yeah, just about that.
They tried to divide it up? Okay. Did you play, at what time of the day were the games scheduled for the most part? Was that evening or early evening or afternoon on the weekends type thing?
We played in the
Uh-huh.
You know, what, 7:30, 7 o'clock,
okay.
That was normal.
And that was at Borchert Field when you were in Milwaukee. Okay.
There were, I think on the weekends, there were afternoon games, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now I'd like to talk about your contract for just a few moments. You signed that in Peru then, once you found out you made it, then they asked you to sign the contract?
Yes, if I remember correctly, that's how they did it.
Okay. Do you remember any of the terms of the contract?
I really don't recall.
Was it like a couple-page thing or one page?
Let me think now. You know, I have that someplace, but it's buried in
piles
of things.
Yeah.
I just think it was one, maybe two pages.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, I was reading recently the history of, you know, our ball league, and it did say at the beginning in one of the magazines, books they had written at the time called Major League Baseball,
mm-hmm.
1945, it's Facts and Figures and Official Rules.
Oh, uh-huh.
And in that book, they had Major League Baseball in the front, and then in the back, they had our baseball league in it.
Oh, okay.
All the girls' names and the teams they played and so on. And it was saying in that book that the contracts at that time were something like the entertainment field, you know.
Oh.
The movie stars, you know, would sign certain contracts, and it said ours was like that.
Okay, I see. Right. What was your salary then, your starting salary?
Well, if I can remember correctly, I think mine was about $65 a week.
Okay.
I didn't care what anybody else thought. I wanted to go back.
Right.
I would have gone for nothing.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. So did that jump for you from what you were making with the railroads on the trains as a Harvey girl?
Oh, there was a big difference. Mm-hmm. On the railroads, on the train, when I first started, you made about $18 a week.
Oh, my goodness.
And that wasn't bad, considering that people were, making like 80, 90 cents an hour.
Right.
And that was pretty good money in some places.
Oh, wow. That's great.
A loaf of bread, was 15, 20 cents. And so on was a big difference.
Sure. And the prices. Right. How often were you paid?
I was going to say a month, but I don't know if it was a month or not. I really don't recall.
Okay, all right. When you did get paid, though, what did you do with the money? Did you have a savings account or at a bank, or did you keep it on you or send it home, or what was...
No, I had a bank account and put the money in and saved all I could.
Okay.
So that when I went home, I wouldn't have to work.
Right. I see. So that was... was that a bank in Milwaukee that you had arrangements with?
Yes, at that time.
Okay. All right. Did you, that covers everything I kind of wanted to touch upon with the contracts. Back to the league then, and let's see. Did you like the changes in the league that, in 44, did you experience any changes that made the game more like baseball? For instance, at that point, did they lengthen the base distances or sidearm as opposed to overhand pitching? What were you guys playing?
Well, when we first went back, it was, I think it was completely, the pitching was underhand, and then it started to come sidearm, and then it little by little went up. I liked the overhand pitching the best.
Okay. All right.
And the sidearm, some of those ladies could really whip that ball. And you didn't know where it was coming from, so the ones that did pitch sidearm, really did well, too.
Uh-huh. How do you feel that those changes affected your performance on the field? Did you think that you improved as a result of that, or did it hamper you in any way?
Well, I think it improved because, they lengthened the bases, too.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And as I said earlier, that when I was very young, I loved to run.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a pretty sharp eye, and Max Carey, of course, who was my idol at the time, he, led the National League in base stealing for many a year.
Right.
High Cobb.
Right.
And he showed me so many wonderful things, on how to outsmart the pitcher.
Ah.
I loved it.
I see. Little cat and mouse.
Right.
That's exciting. That's exciting. That does kind of naturally lead into the next topics that I wanted to cover was your manager, Max Carey. You mentioned earlier that he was like a father figure and became somewhat of an idol for you. How else did his previous baseball experience affect your team and your attitudes toward playing? Was he a very gregarious person, or was he more... Is he quiet and kind of laid back about it all? What was his actual coaching style?
Well, Max was the manager of the Dodgers in 1932-3, so he wasn't a quiet man. He knew how to get up and give good speeches and talk to people, And he was very good at that. And myself, I would always listen to everything he had to say because he was so interesting in the way he presented it and showed you the difference from point to point.
Right.
This is a better way than another way.
Uh-huh.
And I liked him very much for that, and I think that, of course, we won the championship.
Yes, that's right.
And a lot of it was, of course, our ball players that did it, but I think a lot of it was because he was a pretty smart man.
Right. Good. Let's see, I'm getting to the end of the side, so I'm going to turn it off now.
This is the continuation of an interview with Thelma Eisen, Tape 1, Side 2.
Okay, and just to finish up with Max Carey then, he actually sounds like a very exciting person. And did he control how often the chicks practiced, or was that set up by the league? Do you recall? Yes, uh-huh. Did he have you out there?
Well, as a team, once we were in Milwaukee, he was controlled of everything.
Oh, okay.
We had a board of directors, so to speak. But he controlled as far as the playing is concerned. He was in charge.
Okay, and so how often did you practice then when you were home-based in Milwaukee there?
Well, we could practice every day if we needed it.
Oh, I see. So it was a judgment call.
Yeah, I mean, once the league started, we'd go out there early and, warm up and practice. But obviously, if we had a day off or if it was a weekend where we would also practice.
Mm-hmm. So he was not only an effective coach, but he was also an effective manager.
Oh, well, I thought so. Yeah.
Okay. Any other memories or experiences that you can recall about Mr. Carey?
Well,
anything that stands out in your mind?
He knew a lot of people that when we first started in Milwaukee, there were people that come down from Chicago because they remembered him as a major league ball player.
Mm-hmm. Or was everybody pretty good?
Well, I can't say because I always kept out of trouble. I wanted to make sure I stayed on the job.
Yeah.
So if there were any, I don't really know.
Okay.
I'm sure there were some.
Right. Okay. And you mentioned that Dottie Hunter and Max Carey did get along quite well. Do you feel that that relationship had any type of effect on the team?
Yes, I do, because we were like a family.
Okay.
Max, he used to preach, you know, now this is a team. It isn't I.
Uh-huh.
It's we.
Ah.
And he impressed that on us from the first day.
Very smart.
We had to work as a unit in order to get things done.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that I've carried through most of my life, you know, from remembering that.
Right. So they were lessons well learned.
Oh, yes.
Great. Okay. Now, when you were in Milwaukee and on the road, I suppose we should start with Milwaukee. What was the social life like? Were you guys able to go out? Was it just on the weekends, or were you just always playing and practicing, and that was about it?
No. One thing that I always enjoyed doing when we went to a town that, you know, when we first started,
mm-hmm.
we used to love to sit in the lobby and watch people go back and forth in the hotel. You know?
Uh-huh.
And there was always something to do, and you could always shop.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times when we could go out on a date,
mm-hmm.
but you had to be very careful, you know, you had to let the chaperone know
right.
whom you were going with and what time, and you had to be back at curfew. Not into trouble.
What time was curfew?
Well, it was probably 10, 11 o'clock, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Did the team go out together quite a bit, or were there more individual, you know, girls who, just a couple girls who would hang around together, or do you have any remembrances of that?
No, the team never went out as a group unless we went someplace to eat, maybe after a game.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But everybody had their own little groups, you know, after the ball games to go eat or let's go have a bite or,
uh-huh.
you know, people like to do different things.
Right.
But there was always a restaurant or someplace to go after the game.
Okay.
And have some conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did everybody get along with each other? Did it really truly become that family? You know, and the feelings that go along with that, or?
Well, I think it did on the ball field, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Off the ball field, you know, you have different types of people.
Right.
And there was never any problem.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got along well, but we liked different things.
Okay, sure. Well, that's understandable.
Right.
Did you develop any strong friendships with any teammates?
Well, I'll tell you, of the six ladies, went back that we're still friends.
Oh, great.
Oh, I know who I forgot to tell you. It's Dorothy Doyle. She played for the Rockford.
Okay.
She was the sixth person that went back.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and I've known Dorothy since she was 11 and I'm 12.
Oh, wow.
And I still see her.
Great. That's really neat. That's just, you know, I would think that makes it all the more special.
Oh, it does. And I still see Alma Ziegler when I'm up north. And she comes down here once in a while. We're always, you know, talking about the good old days like most people do.
Sure. Now, there we go. Back on. We'll see how that works. Okay. All right. And you mentioned earlier that you were allowed to go on dates as long as you checked with the chaperone. Okay. Let's see. How often did you talk with your friends and family from home when you were with the chicks, both in Milwaukee and then on the road?
Well, I would write home.
Okay, so there's a lot of letter writing.
A lot of letter writing.
What was the most difficult change in your personal or social life that you had to deal with when you went out to try out, and then once you found out you made the team, was there anything that you had a particularly difficult time adjusting to, or?
Well, let me think. No, there wasn't too much difficulty. If I were with certain individuals that were not, let's say, warm people, you know, mm-hmm. sit down, have a nice conversation with, you know, everybody's different. Sometimes it was a little uneasy because at that time I was not an outgoing person.
Oh, okay.
And that's what baseball did for me.
Yeah.
Took a long time.
Uh-huh.
I could display my inner feelings out on the field, you know, outsmart everybody and do the things you're supposed to do, but then off the field, you know, you can sit back and just smile and don't know what to say to anybody.
Right.
So that was the most difficult thing for me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I say I was an introvert instead of an extrovert.
Right.
But I have changed some.
Great. So it was very worthwhile in lots of ways.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, next topic I'd like to turn to is about Milwaukee itself. Do you remember how the Milwaukee fans and the press, or the people of Milwaukee, I should say, and the press received the chicks? Do you recall any, reading any, you know, like newspaper articles or things like that when you came to Milwaukee and throughout the season then?
Well, when we first came there, you know, they advertised in the newspapers quite a bit. They called us the little, I'm trying to remember the name, Schnitz or Schnitzels.
Oh!
Little deer.
Right.
You know, the little cheap deer. And of course, they changed the name immediately to Chicks. The newspapers, you know, were saying little Schnitzels. I can't even remember the name now. I think it was in the newspapers. And then, of course, as I say, they changed it, you know, Milwaukee Chicks. That was our name.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, the fans were great, the ones that we knew that were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember there was a young man there. He was, I would say, about 35 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm 20.
Right.
So, and he wanted to take me out on a date. And he was saying how wonderful he thought that the women were there, you know.
Uh-huh.
Go out. I got permission to go out, and
awesome.
He took me to a very fancy restaurant, and we had lobster, and I'd never had anybody bring a live lobster to me at the hotel.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The restaurant, I nearly died thinking we were going to eat that. I didn't want to know that, you know, I was from Los Angeles, Hollywood, you know, I wasn't used to that type of thing.
Right.
Anyway, it was little things like that. I like Milwaukee. The people were nice, but we didn't have
right.
Mhm.
That's right. That was part of the problem.
Yeah. They even, I guess you know, had an orchestra on Sunday, the symphonic orchestra.
Yeah, I was reading about that.
And it still didn't work. They just weren't used to it.
Yeah.
I think if they'd stayed another year, they may have been able to do it.
They could. Yeah. They could have maybe stuck it out, but
right.
Okay. Because they had the minor league Brewers team there at the time. I think that was a little bit too much competition, which was too bad, yeah. When you guys were in Milwaukee, when you were home, where did you stay? Was it at a hotel or is it at a boarding house? Or?
No, they tried to put, well, they did not try. They had, the girls all stayed private home.
Okay.
And my roommate, Alma Ziegler,
uh-huh.
You know, we were from Los Angeles, so we lived together. And we stayed with this is the Funk that was just a few blocks from Orchard Field.
Oh, is that F-U-N-K?
Yes.
Funk, okay.
I remember the name, it's Funk.
Oh.
Very nice place.
Yeah.
And we stayed her home for the season.
Okay.
And, we paid her rent, what, $5 a week or whatever it was.
Oh, per person?
Yes.
Oh, so she was bringing in like $10.
Right.
Oh, very nice.
Right. They rented these rooms, and once in a while you'd have a little meal there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice because it was close to the ball.
Yeah. Did she, was she there with a husband and family, or was it just herself?
I think she was there by herself.
Oh, okay.
I don't recall a family.
Yeah. Was she an older lady?
Yes, she was.
Yeah. And that was just a couple
just a short distance
doors down from Orchard Field? Okay. Okay. What did you explain what it was like to play at Borchardt Field? Was it different from what you had were used to out in Los Angeles, or was it very similar?
Yes, because in Los Angeles we had softball fields.
Okay.
And we were playing in the Brewer Park, you know.
Right.
Which was a regular baseball field, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
To get out there, you know. And that could have been another reason I think that the fans didn't come out, because the field is much smaller, you know, than regular baseball. And they had to put, if I remember correctly, they had a fence that they had to put out there. So that it was, you know, a regular R game.
Okay.
The dimensions were proper.
Okay, I see. How did you feel about sharing that Borchardt Field with the minor league Brewers? Were you excited about that, or was it difficult? Did you I don't know about scheduling, how they scheduled all of that, but did you ever have to compete with them for time to get on the field to practice or to play?
No, we never had a problem because they were on the road, you know, while we were home.
Oh.
They scheduled it that way.
So they did coordinate it.
At the beginning of the season.
Okay.
So I never really saw them play.
Okay. All right. And you said of the 125 games or so, about half were in Milwaukee and the other half were on the road. Do you remember what the average attendance would have been at home games? Did you ever hear any figures or just...
I don't recall.
Okay. When you guys played the championship down in Kenosha, did any of you Milwaukee fans attend? Do you remember having some support down there, or?
I think there were a few people that did come.
Okay.
Yeah, but not very many.
Okay. When you guys did win the championship, do you remember how the fans in Milwaukee and the press reacted? Was there any ceremonies or anything?
It was a thrill, you know. It was in the newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
But we came home, and, you know, naturally, there wasn't anybody there to really greet us.
Okay.
Because we didn't have that many fans at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the few diehards that we had maybe were there, but
okay.
That's, I think, why they left.
Yeah, part of it. Let's see. Now, how did you guys travel then from city to city? What was the mode of travel to get...
Well, we traveled by bus.
By bus. Okay, so the team had its own bus. And where did you stay when you were in the other cities?
Oh, we stayed in hotels.
Hotels, okay. And how were the fans in the other cities, the smaller cities, Racine, Kenosha, Rockford, how were the fans different from Milwaukee, do you recall?
Well, there were fans there.
Okay. So just numbers? Okay.
Yeah. They were great. They all supported their teams, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when a different team would come that hadn't played there before, the fans would come up and, you know, boo and hooray and hello and, you know, the usual ball fans.
So it was really a different experience.
Yeah.
Okay. What were the good things about being on the road?
Well, I enjoyed being on the road. For one thing, once you're on the road, it's a unit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're living at home, it's not the same. When you're on the road, you're on there for one purpose, to go to a place. You're all together. You eat together most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in a unit. You're a unit.
Right.
And, you know, see the people. Of course, we traveled so much, sometimes we were too tired to even talk afterwards.
Yeah.
At night. But it was still, you know, you had somebody there to back you up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What were some of the bad things about being on the road? You mentioned, like, being tired and and the schedule.
We would play a ball game, and maybe a doubleheader, and then we'd get on the bus and drive back, you know.
Oh.
To our town, maybe a 4 or 5 hour trip.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, we had maybe a doubleheader somewhere.
Oh.
And it got a little tiring, but of course we were young.
Young and excited.
Sure. But you know, it was wearing.
Yeah.
On trips like that.
Mm-hmm. Was there anybody that stands out as kind of a morale booster? Any teammates that was particularly good at that, or did just all the girls?
I think Alma Ziegler was quite a leader. She was always, you know, let's get in there and let's do this. I think she was captain at the time.
Oh, okay.
And she was a kid.
Okay.
And of course all the other girls.
There was, I have a photo of the team, Ernestine Petrus.
Oh, yeah, Tina. Oh, she's
yeah.
a hustler, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josephine Figlio.
Yeah, Figlio. And Pat Kinkle, Merle Kinkle, they called her Pat.
Right, yeah, she's on here. Vicky.
She was a little fire.
Yeah.
She was always hustling out there and doing things. And everybody had their own, you know, little thing. I think that Connie Wisniewski, the pitcher, you know. She's a great morale builder, too. She was a fighter and always in there.
Yeah, okay. And then I'm sure Max tried to do his part with keeping all the spirits up. Okay.
I always remembered, I do want to comment about this. We had a pitcher by the name of Viola Thompson. And she was such a lady coming from South Carolina.
Oh.
The pitcher, I just couldn't believe that she could play ball.
Wow.
She was a wonderful picture and very, very beautiful young woman. And she was, you know, one of the stars, too.
Yeah. I've also got listed Vicky Panos.
Oh, gosh.
Dolores Kalsowski. Kloss.
Dolores? Oh, yeah.
K-L-O-S-O-W-S-K-I.
I don't recall her.
Yeah. And then there's Merle Kegel. Almost.
Died many years ago.
Oh, okay.
She died when she was 27.
Oh.
She had cancer, and of course they didn't know anything about it then. They removed something on her back, and she never recovered.
Right. So that wasn't too long after
playing.
Yeah, oh, that's a shame.
27 years old.
That's a shame.
I know.
I also have Alma and Clara Cook. Sylvia Ronsky, there's Connie, and then Doris Tetzloff. Betty.
Betty Whiting had died, too.
Okay, and then Dorothy McGuire.
She also died.
Oh, my. Emily Stevenson is listed. Joel Kabik.
Kabik.
And Gladys Davis.
She died also.
Oh, my. So quite a few from the Chicks.
Yeah, from the Chicks.
Yeah. Okay, well that's, because this is a really nifty picture.
Dorothy McGuire, when we first had our reunion after all these years in 1982, I think it was Chicago, her son, such a charming, wonderful young man, came to our reunion saying that he heard his mother talk about these women all of his life. He wanted to know who they were. And you know that each year that we've been together now, well, he married in the meantime, and he brought his baby to us. And he's part of our group now, our Players Association.
Very
I
nice.
I think it's wonderful.
Yes, I have. We were trying to contact him, Richard Chapman.
Right.
Yeah, we had tried to contact him last fall, I remember, and I don't think anybody got much further. Well, our professor also felt that we really needed to just talk with the Chicks. So, but he was there to give us some extra information.
Yeah.
Okay. Just to finish out with on the road. Where was your favorite place to play? Do you recall a city that really stands out, or?
Well, I think I liked Kenosha and Racine because they were right along the lake down there.
Yeah.
And it was so pretty, you know. Come into town there and see the water and the bridge, you know, that in the town there. They were lovely little towns. Coming from, you know, the West Coast here.
Right.
And the big city.
Sure.
Very different.
Yeah. I'm actually from Kenosha.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So, but I'm way on the north side of Kenosha, so I'm very close to, we do a lot of things in Racine, so I know exactly where you guys used to play in Racine.
Well, there was a fan that I knew back there. She used to follow the ball playing. she moved to California, she got in touch with me, and I'm still friends with her all these years.
Wonderful.
And she still has family in the same town.
Uh-huh.
I'm not quite sure which town it was, and she's always talking about it back home.
Right. Okay. The next topic I wanted to move on to was the actual championship. What do you think about the quality of the season that the Chicks played for 1944?
The quality of the season?
Mm-hmm.
You mean how we...
Right. How was it different from any other season that you had experienced, either, you know, with your softball teams or just what you had heard, or if you had anything else to compare it to?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I thought we had a great team.
Uh-huh.
That year. We had some great ball players, and as I said before, everybody played as a unit, and we won, you know? And it was great because we had good training, and everybody knew exactly what they were supposed to do.
Right.
And the quality of play, the championship, was very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
We won.
Yes.
The point.
During the championship in Kenosha, how did the Chick team feel? Do you remember what it was like? The feelings, the atmosphere.
After we won, or
well, during the championship.
Oh, well, I can't remember now.
It was a 7-game. Playoff. I know it went right down to the wire.
Yeah,
practically.
Well, I'll tell you, the competition was great.
Yeah.
And, I don't want to say we were lucky. We did what we were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we won.
Okay. How did the team feel about playing in Kenosha as opposed to playing it in Milwaukee? Did it make a difference? Or?
I think it made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had the fans there. You know?
Okay.
And regardless of whose fans they were.
Yeah.
It's great to hear somebody cheering.
Right.
And you play your best. If you're in an empty ballpark, it isn't so good.
Yeah. So you possibly playing some games in Milwaukee might have made a difference to either of the team's performances.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I think we would have won anyway, but... I think it made a difference, yes.
Okay. All right. I'm coming to the... Well, it's kind of hard to see in the light. No, we can get a few more questions in on this side of the tape. Okay. Let me see. Now, when you were as an outfielder, do you recall where you batted in the lineup? What was your place in the batting lineup?
What Max tried to do, because I was a fast runner, I usually was the leadoff.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was in Milwaukee, too, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because he had taught us that once somebody got on, what you had to do was to, the next batter was to either push them ahead so they could get to the next base.
Uh-huh.
The third person up would drive them in.
Okay, so kind of the power hitter.
Right. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
So I did a lot of that leadoff for, many years from my ball playing.
Okay.
I was never a great power hitter, but a fast runner and scored a lot of runs.
Right, okay. Do you remember what your batting average was offhand?
That first year was probably... 220, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. So, and it was possibly average? Was that pretty average? Okay. And then, let's see, do you remember who was the big power hitter on the Chicks? Do you recall? Who were the stronger batters?
I think Pat Keegle was.
Mm-hmm.
She could really wallop that ball. And I think Dorothy McGuire was a very good hitter, too.
Okay.
Did you
have any, what was your stolen bases? Did you have any stolen bases?
That's versions here. I think I have, but I don't.
Good. So being so quick. Stayed with you. Did you recall ever any injuries that you, any serious injuries? Okay. Oh.